I'd like to welcome you all out tonight to the Planning Commission Training Work Session with the Town Council being invited to this. Wednesday, April 15th, 2024, at 6:00 p.m. at the Wasatch County School Conference, 55 South, 500 East, Heber City, Utah. We'll go ahead tonight and start with agenda item number one, which is some grammar training by Eric Bennett.
Okay. I'm going to start this. Tell me if you can hear it over there.
Yes.
Kim, you need this the most, unless you've already had all this training.
I'm good.
They do one-on-one for her.
This is just 8 minutes long, and then we can talk about it, see if we have any questions. But does anybody know what grandma is in the first place? A little bit? Kinda?
Records, sex, I don't know what else.
Yeah.
It's all about getting documents.
Basically, it's has to do with anything that should be public has to be made public, whether it's meetings of minutes of a meeting, or if I send Kim an email asking about something for that is town business, that's all public. So, and there are also things that aren't public, and it goes into a little bit of that too. So let's give it a try.
Welcome to the Office of the State Auditor's Introduction Course on Grammar. In this video, we are going to discuss the basics of Utah's Government Records Access Management Act, or Grammar. By the end of this video, you should have a basic understanding of what Grammar requires of local government entities. If you have a specific question regarding a records request, please contact the Government Records. The Government Records Access Management Act addresses the management and access of government records. It recognizes that the public has a right to access information regarding the conduct of the public's business and the right of privacy in relation to personal data gathered by governmental entities. A record series means a group of records that may be treated as a unit for purposes of designation, description, management, or disposition. Record series reflect the natural organization of groups of records and the relationships to each other. For example, board meeting minutes would be considered a record series. Local government entities need to adopt a records policy that is consistent with Utah code and procedures established by the Utah State Archives Division. Classification indicates the level of access to records maintained by the entity. A classification is assigned to each record series. There are four classifications defined in the law: public, private, controlled, and protected. Some record series may have more than one classification. For example, some records contain both private and protected information. Public records are records that are open to everyone. They include minutes from open meetings, compensation paid to a contractor, and the name, gender, and gross compensation paid to a public employee. Private records contain information about individuals that can only be accessed by those individuals and others specified in Utah code. They include unemployment insurance, social service and welfare benefits, medical history, diagnosis, condition, treatment, and evaluation, and finally, the home address, home telephone number, social security number, and marital status of a public employee. Controlled records are records that may only be released to certain individuals, such as social workers and healthcare providers, and may not be disclosed to the individual to whom they pertain. They include medical, psychiatric, or psychological data, and information detrimental to the subject's mental health or to the safety of any individual. Finally, there are protected records. Protected records contain information that is restricted in the public interest. They include trade secrets, closed meeting minutes, test questions and answers, records that would jeopardize the life or safety of an individual, and records that would jeopardize the security of a correctional facility. There are different retention requirements for each record series and type of local government entity. Municipalities and local and special service districts follow the same general retention schedule, while counties and school districts each have their own unique schedules. General retention schedules are available on the Utah Archives website. The table on your screen shows a typical schedule of records for a town. It includes the type of record, classification, and retention requirements. GRAMA requests are required to be submitted to the agency that prepares, owns, or retains the records. Records should only be released by the entity that owns those records. Never release another entity's records. The requester must provide his or her name, address, phone number, and a description which identifies the record requested with reasonable specificity. Once the GRAMA request has been received, local government entities must respond within 10 business days. A person may request an expedited response if the request benefits the public rather than the individual. Expedited responses must be given within 5 business days, providing a referral if the entity does not maintain the requested record. Requests may be denied if necessary. If extraordinary circumstances apply, the requester must be notified. Extraordinary circumstances include: another agency is using the record, the entity is processing a large quantity of records, the requester asks for a voluminous quantity of records, or the records are undergoing an audit by another governmental entity. When faced with extraordinary circumstances, the requested records should be provided as soon as possible. If only part of the records are available, release the available portion or provide the requester with an estimate of the time required to respond. Local government entities are required to allow every person the right to inspect public records free of charge in a format that does not unreasonably hinder access. Entities must provide electronic copies if that is the requester's preference and an electronic copy is available. If any part of the request is denied, the entity is required to provide a written notice of the denial to the requester. The notice of the denial must contain the following items: a description of the record, citations to the applicable provisions of GRAMA, and a statement that denial may be appealed to the chief administrative officer that includes the chief administrative officer's name and business address. The record that access was denied to must be retained until the time limit for the appeal has expired. GRAMA does allow entities to charge a reasonable fee for requests if the entity so chooses. However, the law has specific limitations regarding charging fees. An entity may charge for the actual cost of providing a record when it is provided in a form other than that normally maintained by the entity. An entity may also charge for staff time for direct costs, such as search, retrieval, and summarization. An entity may not charge for more than the time of the lowest paid employee capable of processing the request. In order to charge a fee, the entity must include a fee schedule in their GRAMA policy. If a fee schedule has not been adopted as an official part of the policy, no fees may be charged. Entities cannot charge for the first 15 minutes of a search, allowing the requester to inspect the record, or reviewing a record to determine whether it is the subject of a request. The law encourages entities to fill a request free of charge when releasing the record will benefit the public, the requester is the subject of the record, or the requester's legal rights are implicated and they claim hardship. Great job. You've now finished the introduction to GRAMA video.
Would you like to take a quiz?
No, because I can't do a GRAMA request to get the quiz and the answers. It told us that.
Any questions? Are you our records person?
Yes, and the only time that I've ever had a grammar request was there was one realtor that would regularly, when I first started, request any zone change, any anything that would have crossed my path. And I spoke to them, and they were looking for, you know, grandma, you know, grandma, grandpa's, you know, farm that had passed. And I said, and I just told them that that's not something that I deal with, that
yeah, they can't ask you to go research something for them.
No, but
they have to be able to say this is the day, the document.
Exactly.
And
once he found out I don't even have those records, then he stopped even requesting them. He was just looking for you know, what properties were in foreclosure, or you know, what other stuff. And I just told him that I don't even have those records, that that's part of the county, and so I haven't heard from him in
even
a year
if he
and
did
a half.
It wouldn't apply if he just said
no,
tell me everything that's been foreclosed on. That's
no he was just he
works.
Was just being difficult. But when I told him, I honestly, like, I don't have the information you're looking for, then he stopped making them. So
I can only think of one other time when there was when they called and asked you about adjudicated matters in the town.
Yeah, there was that one time.
They were looking to see if there was problem properties, and that was their take, because they would go after those, fighting with the town. They would go after and try and buy those properties for people that was sick of the town. There's That was a real estate ploy too. They did that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a fee structure for all that stuff in our policy there?
No, but we've been to court several times. Charles Schultz claimed the same thing with the county and that, and they're like, we provide that stuff online, and if it's provided online at substantial cost to the town, that we don't have to provide that if it's available online. They're responsible to go get that themselves. So
okay.
That held up in court.
Cool.
So I've submitted one before, and that was to Utah County Fire Department. When we had the fire up at Big Hollow, I was curious what their investigation showed. And I called and asked them, and they said, you need to file a grandma request. We're not gonna just tell you. So I did. And it was just a few days, didn't cost me anything. They had it to me in just a few days, and the report that they had written up on it.
No conclusive?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, they didn't. Off the record, they didn't try very hard.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
It's easy to not find anything.
But anyway, and there are some things, personal things, and confidential for some reason kind of things are protected.
Anything employment related is not part of that. Like, I have to be really careful if, like, somebody was asking about Eric's employment and how long he worked for the town and what was his job scope, then I would actually go in and really be very careful about, like, what I
but I think if they're asking what he's paid, I think that's something you
nope, 100% I can do that, but
yeah.
But anything above that,
right.
You know, like,
because it's personal information.
Sure.
Exactly.
If there was I wouldn't even think you'd have to respond to that. That's in the public record online.
It is. So.
There you go.
Yeah. But those were the only things
right to
that
know.
Were.
So this is mostly used by news organizations that are trying to do
yes,
and get
yes,
stuff.
Yes.
The Sean Reyes thing was big a few months ago, if you remember that. His calendar. And he was able to keep it private. And then And then the legislature actually passed a bill saying those are private, not subject to grandma, so.
Yeah, they was worried, wasn't they?
Yeah, he had, must have had something to hide, I guess.
Well, the rest of them did. They passed that law pretty quick.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it.
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Eric, appreciate you taking care of that. Agenda item number two is some training on some open meetings. And what if I put you on a hot spot, Eric, and had you kind of go through this?
Oh, that's all right.
Will you do that?
Sure.
Take Robin's place and just kind of go through.
Got the handout, so.
Yeah, go through what he's got right here. I'm sorry for doing that.
That's all right. That's all right.
So.
I know what an open meeting is.
Sure.
So this training about the open public meeting protects the public from us meeting and doing the town's business without the public being involved and aware of those things. So they just did an update to this in the legislature this year again. So they've done some electronic means, allowed electronic meetings that don't qualify as an open public meeting. And so they've done a couple other things. They narrowed the scope of chance meetings, because if three people showed up on a council or the deciding vote, I should say.
Like we're all at church together or something.
Right. So they narrowed that scope to it has to be noticed if you're doing town business. If it's just chance meeting, they broaden that, so it's not such a downfall, because I mean we're a small town, everybody runs into every grocery store.
That's right.
So they actually shortened that down. So there's your, what is a meeting?
Yeah.
A meeting of a public body. I think a lot of people don't, even the planning commission, I mean, that's something that you hear people complain about. It's a small town and the Mormons have done it. I mean, you hear those kind of things in this town, so just be aware of it. It is more of an issue than if you run into somebody, just be aware there's people listening and they'll tie that wherever they want, so. So there's your chance meeting, and social gatherings are exempt from that. Does not mean. So when can we close it to the public? That's a big thing.
So for the planning commission, a quorum, so four people?
Yeah.
And for the town council, three?
Three, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So if you find yourself in that situation, don't talk town business.
Yeah, just don't talk town business, yeah. if you're in that situation.
I'm just be 100% fine with that.
Yeah. So when you can close one, David Church, who is our attorney's dad, he used to be the attorney for the League of Cities and Towns. And I sat through plenty of trainings with him, and he says, when can a planning commission go into closed session? And everybody's like, oh, if they're doing business or transaction, he says never, unless their attorney telling them they're about to get sued. He says that's the only time a planning commission should go into closed session. So everything that planning commission does, they're administering the rules that are already in place, they shouldn't be in closed session discussing those. So that's what he said. Now, of course, Scott knows, as you turn and get into legal documents and the authority to do that they have the right to go in, but you have to state when you're going in and for what reason. That has to be on the record and who's there, so that has to show. Those are redacted, only the judge can see those, but if they go in and see that you've talked about anything other than what you went into closed session for, they'll open it up. So you've got to be careful when you're in closed session about what is discussed there. The judge makes that decision.
And so, I do record closed sessions, just
separately.
So you know, for that very reason.
Right. Separately, they're not posted mm-hmm. online.
No, they're not, but
the judge has access.
But we have
yeah.
those recordings.
Yeah. So it gives you some examples there of different things, water rights, purchases, exchanges, leases of land, security things, that's not on here, but security, things up around the water tank, if he's talking about cameras or SCADA, anything like that is not, you can go in a closed meeting to discuss that, those types of things. And then, of course, the next one, does it ever have to be a closed meeting? It doesn't.
Can we go back a page?
Yes.
Just curious, it says, public notice of the terms and public approval of sale required. So you can negotiate a sale or talk terms in a closed session, but then you have to do a public notice before you actually execute it?
You have to go back into, there's no action taken in a public meeting, in a closed meeting.
Okay.
You have to do the public's business in the public. You don't have to take input, but if you went in and negotiated that contract, you was going to buy water chairs, you come out of that closed session to actually issue that contract and buy those.
Right, but I'm just saying, it says, and public approval. I don't, is it, the approval has to be in public? Because I don't know that.
Yeah, that would have, that's what I read that as, that you're going to do that out, the vote's going to be public, they're going to know how everybody voted on that approval.
We're not going to let the pub, I mean, the public doesn't, or you don't have to wait for the public to vote on the whole thing just because it was in closed session.
Right.
And that just was misleading, so.
Yeah, it is kind of a catchword there, isn't it? Yeah, so you just have to do those things in public, and of course, El Grandma requested it. So then, of course, there's no meetings that have to be closed. That's totally up to the board to decide if they want to go into closed session or not. They can do those out in the open. So there's your rules, 52.4204, on the process to close the meeting. Again, planning probably won't ever do this, but Scott will.
So what's two-thirds for the council? Would that be three?
Three out of five.
Three out of five, that's not two-thirds. Mm-hmm. That'd be four.
That'd be four.
Okay.
And I believe that they did that also this year, define that better of who is present. So, but they did close in the gap on who can do the contract, that it has to have the full board there to do a contract. So they can't hold a special meeting, go into a closed session with two people. And who's there? Two people. They vote unanimous, it's done. So it says, it'll actually say the majority plus this number, depending on your form of government.
So for Scott to do a contract, all five would have to be there, or just four?
Four.
Okay.
Only take three to vote it before it has to be there.
Okay.
Yep.
So more than a quorum?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pass it, yeah.
Okay.
Again, of course, the last page, what you may not do, and all those things are public information, so those things should be done in the public. We've had those accusations before. I mean, the door was locked, the people couldn't get in. They're all on a closed meeting. It doesn't take much. So, I think if you're aware of those things, that it's easier to just not step into cow pipe. Study up, Scott. You're in charge.
Sweet. Eric, thanks for taking us through this open public meeting. I don't really have anything else to add to this meeting. Are there any questions that any of you have? Good. So I don't think we have to have a vote to adjourn this meeting. So we'll adjourn this meeting.